Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left at Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you?
I'm great, man.
You know, I think it's always so interesting how people come through our business, and it's great to know people between, you know, 19 and 26, and some of them stay with us, and those are the people we value most, of course. And some people go on to do other things and go on to other fields, and some people go on to the restaurant business. I remember we had a guy who really knew nothing about the culinary world, worked for us for 4 years, left our employ, and became the CitySearch.com food
restaurant critic for New York City.
Full-time, that was a full-time job for years, very influential restaurant critic. Had been the captain at our restaurant,
right.
And he, unfortunately for us, we were outside of his jurisdiction. We've had people go on and open restaurants. We've had people go on and become writers. We've had people go on and do many different things.
Obviously, this, actors. I mean, we see that people.
What was Dan? Mm-hmm.
Dan Travis.
Dan Travis was in. Help me here.
Open Water. Was
Open
the
Water,
the
where the scuba divers got left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. You can see a former waiter there, Dan. Cool guy. He had him on the show. You saw me just rush into the studio before the show. You don't even know the phone message I got on the way in here.
Go ahead.
Our former maitre d' of Catherine Lombardi, a woman named Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to get Samantha back on the show.
Why do we have to get Samantha back on the show?
Because she called and said, "Hey, Francis, it's been a while. I'm calling you from Beijing. I'm here visiting my brother, and I'm interviewing for a restaurant manager position. There's a company here opening a new restaurant, and they really want me to be the manager. I need a letter of recommendation." So please,
sometimes you leave New Brunswick and you go to Beijing to run a restaurant? Is that what's going on?
We're
going
to have to get her on the show. She doesn't speak Chinese.
That's going to be interesting.
Her brother does, but she doesn't speak Chinese.
Got it. Well, my guess is you learn fast. You know, both you and I spent some time, you know, living in foreign countries, and you learn fast because, well, we like to eat.
Mark, you learned French. I learned Spanish. That's Chinese. That's very, very
It's a whole different alphabet.
It's a whole, and your dad's French, and I grew up in a state where a lot of people speak Spanish.
And I had taken years and years of French before I went to the country.
She's in Beijing, but they want her to be, like, to open a restaurant as the manager of a restaurant out there. That's very exciting. It's funny. And I tell you one thing that is funny, and I hope, Samantha, you're listening to the simulcast, because she said, "Yeah, my number in Beijing is 84197-822-4976. I'm like, I love you and all. But I'll send you an email.
But if I got to dial more than 10 numbers, I'm not calling.
You want me to write you a letter of recommendation and call Beijing? I don't think so. But I will send you the letter of recommendation. So that's very exciting. We're gonna have
that's not part of our complete calling plan, anywhere for fixed price.
Not
so that's
Beijing.
Not in there.
So I hope she gets the job, and I want to get her on the show. So I have to write a letter of recommendation when we go back home. Next topic we should talk about, I think, is as far as women in the restaurant industry, we have another woman who won 3 stars from the Michelin Guide in France. Now,
which is their highest ranking and very, very prestigious. Very, very few restaurants in the world.
And Sophie
are given 3 stars.
She's the fourth French woman to receive the award since the Guide began in 1926. A very male-dominated field, chefing in America still, and really in France.
I mean, everywhere in the world, you see very, very few women in the kitchen. I mean, we had a female sous chef. We've had a couple of female line cooks, but it's just an uncommon thing to see women working the line in the kitchen, working as chefs.
Well, you know,
I'm not sure why, but it's definitely still a male-driven profession.
I have an idea why. I think that, and you did see for a while there in the 80s, maybe the early 90s, you saw a lot of women chefs that were young, starting out chefs. And I still see, you see a good percentage, not anywhere even level of percentage, but a good percentage of people coming out of culinary school and working the line, some very talented young women who work the line. I think that as people rise through the ranks, and I certainly think women are as able as men to rise through the ranks. But I think it's the nature of the business. A lot of those women either dropped out of the business. Many of them became pastry chefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, as hard as you might think it would be to have a two-income family or 2 breadwinners in the family working in the daytime. Having one spouse work at night in the restaurant business is very difficult. You know, I've heard your wife use the term restaurant widow.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the mother who's basically making a choice to 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, not be home from 2 p.m. to midnight, okay, so your kid's asleep when you get home.
Yes, I know. I have kids.
But I think that that's a harder choice for a lot of women to make. I'm not passing a judgment. I'm just saying that I think that a lot of women have a harder problem seeing their kids, you know, 2 and 3 evenings a week than men are able to.
I'm going to say that I don't think that's the crux of the problem to this point. I think there is still a tremendous amount of prejudice out there towards female cooks and female line cooks and female sous chefs and female chefs. And I'm not talking about on the consumer level. What I'm talking about here is from the men, the male-dominated industry, the men who work in the industry. I've talked to chefs who are like, women line cooks aren't as good as men line cooks.
You know, it's funny. I'm remembering a conversation you had with a guy like that who worked for us, and you said, shut up, don't be an idiot. was I think how you responded? And then we made the woman the sous chef over him. I don't say
to my employees very often, shut up. It's just not an expression I use very often.
You said, shut up, don't be an idiot, is what you said.
Because what I'm trying to get from my employees, I'm trying to get them to open up to me. I'm trying to get them to
Except when they say stupid things like a woman can't do it as well as a man.
I'm trying to get them to, you know, share with me how they feel about about certain issues. On this one, he should have shared a little less, I think. He should have changed his mind.
No, I think that a woman is as capable as a man on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're right. Women do face a lot of unreasonable prejudice in a kitchen, though I think that is waning over when we first started. It's less apparent now than
it was. Yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, I think that's true. But I still am not seeing the same amount of female professionals as you would expect in this world. And I am still seeing chefs who some of you might respect out there who say things like, I don't want a woman in my kitchen.
On the sly. They would never make a woman sous chef. They'll let them be line cook. Well, but I also do see some, if you look at some of the early risers, the celebrity chefs of the 90s that were women, there was a real class of women, up-and-comers there, and they've all stopped being chefs. And all the up-and-comers who were men from that age have not stopped being chefs. Again, I'm not in any way saying that there's not a lot of prejudice out there, there's not a lot of glass ceiling situations out there, but there are also a lot of women who say, It's hard to be a dad and a chef. It's really hard to be a mom and a chef.
I mean, I think more importantly than that, it's nearly impossible to work the line at 8 months pregnant or 7 months pregnant. I mean, I think that it's just a job that's temporary. That you can't do. But that's temporary, and I think, though, that sometimes in our industry, people view that as not temporary, and I think they should change their minds.
Yeah, but I think the problem is not with the being pregnant. The problem is when you realize you're not going to be home when your kid comes home from school five days a week.
And honestly, I still think the problem is the prejudice in the kitchen against those people
succeeding. I think it's both. I think we just want to disagree with each other because we don't like each other. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Nancy Alexander. Nancy is an advocate for animal rights. She's the founding president of the Animal Rights Foundation of Florida. She and her ex-husband, Leslie Alexander, who also owns the Houston Rockets, fund and operate the Alexander Foundation, which works for animal rights. She also has a restaurant in Florida, Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar, which has received many accolades and rave reviews and is making quite a splash in the Florida dining scene.
Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
Your menu looks amazing. We haven't been to Sublime, but we've had some pretty awesome experiences in vegetarian and vegan restaurants. I had dinner this year at Pure Food and Wine in New York City, and Mark and I had one of the best restaurant experiences of our lives at Roxanne Klein's restaurant out in California, Roxanne's, which was a raw food restaurant as well as a vegetarian restaurant. Why Sublime? Tell us about Sublime.
Sublime exists to try to make the world a better place. We try to add to the level of kindness in the world by not supporting horrific practices each time people put something in their mouth for a meal. We believe that there's an obligation not to inflict pain and suffering on animals. We opt for compassion and mercy. We have the ability to stop the suffering by not participating with putting food in our mouth that causes suffering to animals.
Well, but
people need a choice. They need to have something other than the decaying flesh of dead animals to eat.
Well, there are a lot of restaurants out there dedicated to vegetarian cuisine. Your restaurant is different and has made quite a splash in culinary circles. How is your restaurant different? It's got more of a fine dining vibe to it.
You're absolutely right.
Well, do you want to tell us why you chose to go the fine dining route?
Yes, because I wanted people to have a fine, sublime dining experience, to realize that it's not just brown rice and lentils that they can eat. Chefs need to realize that there is creativity involved with exploring the vegetable options in food preparation.
Well, I think more and more, Nancy, we're seeing, even in restaurants that do serve meat that are not vegetarian or vegan style restaurants, you're seeing more and more, you know, Charlie Trotter's vegetarian menu, tasting menu, drawing attention to, you know, if that's the route that you choose to go, there are lots and lots of options.
Well, there are more and more options. And among the best chefs, it's seen as a mark of your cooking ability to have a vegetarian tasting menu available. Do you see that changing in the fine dining scene at all?
You mean that there are all going to be more and more fine dining options on restaurants that serve animal flesh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that chefs in general view being able to create a menu without animal flesh as an option for those who don't want to partake of it is becoming more required.
I agree, absolutely. There are more and more chefs, more and more restaurants putting items on the menu that are vegan, not just vegetarian, but vegan. And the interest has grown tremendously, especially in the last 5 years. I mean, you see in the newspapers now, when it comes time for holiday time, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they talk about the vegan people who might be dining, not necessarily in a restaurant, but at your home, and offering options in the food sections.
Why don't we explain to people the difference between vegan and vegetarian while we're here?
Sure. A pure vegan eats no animal products or byproducts, such as milk, cheese, and eggs. And some even shun the wearing of animal products, such as fur, leather, and wool. But I would say that the other general category for vegetarian is lacto-ovo, and they eat milk and eggs and dairy. The two main categories are lacto-ovo, which is eating eggs and dairy, and the other is pure vegetarian, which is a vegan. A strict vegetarian.
Now,
no animal products or byproducts.
Now, is Sublime one or the other of those?
Vegan.
Vegan. Now, is your clientele mostly people who shun animal products entirely or shun meat entirely? Or is it people who have meat as a part of their diet but also explore at Sublime? Who's going there?
Most of the people that come in are meat eaters. And that's the reason why Sublime is more upscale than most other vegan vegetarian restaurants is because we wanted to try to appeal to the meat eaters so that they can realize they can have a sublime meal that does not involve the killing and suffering of animals nor contributes to the degradation of our environment. And it's, for the most part, much, much better for their health.
And it seems to be working by the reviews you're getting. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Nancy Alexander, animal rights activist and owner of Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar in Florida. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were, you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission? To live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standard set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or catherinelombardi.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're talking with animal rights advocate and also fellow restaurateur Nancy Alexander of Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar in Florida. Now, we were talking before the break that many of your client base that comes to your restaurant are people who have meat in their diet overall, and you're trying to show people that you can have a Sublime dining experience without meat. Do you have a problem with other restaurants that do offer meat? I mean, do you think that meat is always inherently a bad thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is proven that it adds to so many diseases, a meat-based diet. Obesity, hypertension, stroke, diabetes, cancer, heart disease.
But do you think that people should have the choice? I mean, the patrons that come to your restaurant, do you think that they should still have a legal choice to go to restaurants that serve meat, and restaurants should be able to continue to serve meat?
Ideally, nobody should be eating meat.
No, but that wasn't...
People should have a choice.
Okay.
And that's why Sublime exists, is so that people have a choice, because it has been for too long of a time where they didn't have a choice. Where it was, you know, even in the schools, the meat and the dairy industries were telling children what was healthy for them.
We agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a lot of good that comes out of this, showing people that you can really have a plant-based diet that even in the confines of Western cuisine, you know, a really great experience. And we have a lot of industry people out there, and I want to point out that you know, even in a group of, and you alluded to it earlier, Nancy, in a group of people that's coming over for a dinner, there may be one person out of the 10 who is a vegetarian or a vegan. And if you as a restaurateur provide that person with an exciting
with
and
choice.
Interesting choice, that whole 10 top may come your way, and then some of them may even try that. But that one no vote can sway the whole 10 top, because if you're not providing a good vegetarian option and somebody in your town is providing a good vegetarian option, you may lose those 9 meat eaters. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that's the case?
Absolutely.
Nice. We're going to listen to the news, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Nancy Alexander about her restaurant, Sublime, which you can link to through our website, Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar, animal rights causes, and the place of a plant-based diet and animal diet in restaurants overall. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guest today is Nancy Alexander. She's an advocate for animal rights. She's the founding president of the Animal Rights Foundation of Florida. She's also a restaurateur. Her restaurant, Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar, has received many accolades and rave reviews and is making quite a splash in the Florida dining scene. We were talking about the restaurant before. We can all agree on providing more choices to our diners and that the plant-based diet offers some very healthy and sometimes very tasty alternatives. But the proceeds from your restaurant go to support animal rights activities and animal rights foundations.
Go towards organizations that promote a vegan lifestyle.
Now, there are some members of the animal rights community who take animal rights, what we think is to an extreme. We'll talk about the guy named Alex Pacheco. I have a quote from him, who was a former director of PETA. He says that arson, property destruction, burglary, and theft are acceptable crimes when used for the animal cause. Do you denounce that statement? I mean, do you think that is acceptable? Because some of the organizations
when
you're associated with.
There is so much suffering behind the closed doors, and nobody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If this was being done to a human being, mm-hmm. what would we do?
Mm-hmm.
What would we do?
Most people
These animals feel pain and suffer, just as human beings do.
Well, there are two things. Most.
And if it's to rescue them, then sometimes some other means other than just speaking have to be engaged in.
Well,
if you have to save a child from being beaten and the cries are screaming out, what do you do?
Yeah, I think that Frances and I are firmly in the camp of humane animal husbandry and you know, making sure our chickens aren't kept in pens
battery cages and
debeaked, and pigs that are
tail docked. The reality is that there are factories. The animals are kept in factories.
That's well, no, that 98%
in the most horrendous conditions.
98% of the food that comes from these factory farms is horrendously treated. I think that that's where we agree.
But the farms that we buy from, you know, the chickens are free-ranging and peck outside, and the black-footed pigs that we buy are from a local farm, and they're raised as pigs. I guess my question is,
there's really no such thing as free-range. There are no standards for that. There's no inspection for free-range. It really doesn't exist. It exists in verbiage.
That's no, that's not true, because we visited the farms and seen it happen.
Sure, I mean, one of the farms we use is a very, very local farm here.
And who slaughters the animals?
I want to go back to the question of, is it just that raising animals for food is wrong, period, no matter how it's done? Or is there any humane method of animal husbandry? Or is it your belief that we shouldn't be allowed to kill animals for food?
Humans do not need animals for sustenance.
Not the question.
No, it is the question, because we don't need them. That killing them, is wrong.
Well, but hold on a second.
We do not need to eat them.
But
somebody needed to eat them, like some animals need to eat other animals. But we do not need to eat animals. We weren't even meant to eat animals.
Well,
the biological structure is not made to eat animals.
There are a lot of scientists who would disagree with that, but my question was not is that we need to. I mean, I'm not asserting that we need to have meat to survive, but you said earlier that you felt that your patrons in your restaurant should have the choice to eat animals if they so chose. But then later on, you likened, meat animals to a human child. You wouldn't suggest that your patrons should have the choice to go and kill a human child and eat it. Is there a distinction or isn't there a distinction?
As I said, it's not a perfect world. What Sublime is trying to do is trying to contribute to the compassion and add to the compassion and mercy in this world.
Well, except that if the proceeds from Sublime go to causes that are supported by people who say arson, property destruction, burglary, and theft are acceptable crimes when used for the animal cause, most people make a distinction between humans and animals. Like, a human baby is much more valuable than a baby chick.
And at the same time, not saying that a baby chick doesn't have value.
Right. But a lot of people would, if they knew that the money that they spend in Sublime goes to support organizations that believe in arson, property destruction, burglary, and theft, that believe in harassing and intimidating people to save animals, would not be so happy about spending money at Sublime.
I disagree with you. People want to add to the kindness in this world and promote compassion. And
compassion through arson,
through
property destruction.
Well, we're not saying to do that. We're not saying to go out and do that.
But
not
it's
at all.
But you're
what
saying it's acceptable.
What we're saying to do is try and make this world a better place by not eating animals.
The not eating animals part is that what I don't have a problem with that at all, and I think providing people with options is a great thing, and making great food from a strictly plant-based ingredients is terrific, but when you take away options from people and when you harass, intimidate, or hurt people...
I think that's the concern. The concern here...
Sublime does not harass and intimidate people. Sublime offers an option for people to choose...
But doesn't the money from Sublime...
To choose compassion over killing animals for food.
But doesn't the money from Sublime go to support organizations like the Animal Rights...
A vegan lifestyle. It goes to support organizations that promote a vegan lifestyle.
Well, now you're...
It goes to support organizations that promote people not eating animals.
Let me give you a little breathing room here. Because you support an organization doesn't mean you necessarily have to support every single statement they make and every single belief that they have.
Nor every action that they take.
I guess the question that Francis is trying to get to is, do you support every action that they take? Is a human life the same as an animal?
I don't support every action everybody takes. I don't support every action every organization takes. But the overall, if they're trying to make this world a better place, that's a good thing.
So, hold on a second. Now, your foundation donated $200,000 to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And I have a director of the People for Ethical Treatments of Animals saying that arson, destruction, et cetera, and so forth, and some of the people from some of the organizations that your foundation has donated to have been charged with crimes like terrorism,
They've been charged? Please. Have they been found guilty?
Well, but I mean...
No, they have not.
What about...
So don't perpetuate, please, these horrible myths that go on.
We just have the director saying that this is an acceptable...
Well, he's not the director anymore.
Okay, but he was the director, and
right.
And many PETA spokespeople have said that it's perfectly acceptable. If a few humans have to be hurt or in order to save animals, then, well, so be it, because they don't really make a distinction between humans and animals. You know,
and the foundation that you're talking about is the Alexander Foundation, is not Sublime.
Okay.
Sublime is a different entity.
But you're running both of them.
I'm not running both of them, no. I have a partner in the Alexander Foundation.
Okay, so you're a partner, and you and your ex-husband run the Alexander Foundation, and the profits from Sublime go to support animal rights.
Go to support organizations that promote a vegan lifestyle.
Would PETA be one of those organizations?
I don't know yet.
I see. Well, it's kind of interesting that you wouldn't know where your profits are going to go.
Well, we haven't had a profitable year yet.
We're restaurant owners. We understand not having a profitable year, Nancy.
Sadly, all too often. My point here is you're asking your meat-based patrons, people who eat meat and go to your restaurant, to have an open mind as to a vegan or vegetarian option.
And they do it for their health, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I have no problem with people who choose a vegan lifestyle. My problem is with organizations that promote not making a distinction between humans and animals, and with organizations that would work to remove my choices to raise and slaughter animals for food and to sell those animals and to eat those animals. That's a problem when you begin to try and take away others' choices, when the organizations you support and work with try to take away others' choices.
You know, but at the same time...
It's wrong. Killing is wrong. Killing is wrong for whatever reason.
No, I think
especially
that...
Especially if it's not necessary.
But 98%
it's not necessary for the sustenance.
But 98% of America would disagree with you. Most Americans think that killing animals for food is not wrong. Now, Mark and I work all the time for humane methods of animal husbandry. I believe that taking a chicken and putting it in a battery cage and cutting its beak off and feeding it antibiotic is wrong. I think torturing animals is wrong. But 99%, and your patrons included, believe that killing an animal for food is not wrong if it's done humanely.
It sounds good to say that you're for animal husbandry until it comes down to what is good animal husbandry? What is humane animal husbandry? Killing an animal, is that humane?
Yeah,
is
sure.
Humane?
Sure, we all die.
Is it possible to have humane slaughter?
Yes.
It is?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, let me
kill
ask
an
you.
Animal to decide to take one other's life, is that humane?
Yeah. Sure. Well, let me ask you a question. Say there's a rabbit, and I used to go hunting with my dad when I was a kid. We'd go hunting for rabbits. You know what, Nancy? Hold just 1 second. Hang around. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't based on lighting. Lights on 9 is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on 9 supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on 9 has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on 9, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightson9.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Our guest today is Nancy Alexander, animal rights activist and owner of Sublime Natural and Organic Restaurant and Bar in Florida. And I used to go hunting with my dad when I was a kid. We'd go hunting for rabbits. I shoot that animal, I shoot that rabbit, it dies very quickly, and I make a stew out of it that night. If I don't shoot that rabbit, the rabbit doesn't move to Florida and die in its sleep, surrounded by its relatives. It gets eaten by an owl.
The fox comes
in. Let's say, the reality of what you're saying, is the reality now,
yeah,
is the animals in humane methods of slaughter and breeding and rearing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing right now. There is no such thing.
No, there is. I've been to the farm. I've seen it. I have friends
who
are farmers.
How prevalent is that?
Huh?
How prevalent is
that? Not prevalent at all.
It's not prevalent.
Well, that's my point.
And again, there's no argument, certainly from Francis and me.
We're working to change that every day.
That is that the way 98% of this country eats, and the food and the meat that 98% of this country eats, if you ever went to those factory farms,
you'd
if you
horrified.
Went to see the pig factory, and it would never even begin to call that a farm, would be deplorable, you'd be disgusted, and you probably would indeed become a vegetarian.
But if you visit the Griggstown Quail Farm, which was recently victim to some animal rights activists who freed about $90,000 worth of game birds, who were domesticated.
I don't know. Was that proven? I don't know. I know a lot of things.
Was it proven?
Yeah, it actually happened.
It actually happened. And they claimed
it actually happened. Were they found guilty?
They claimed responsibility on their website. They proudly said that they did it.
I'm not familiar with that.
My point is, the Greektown Quail Farm, it does practice humane methods of animal husbandry. I mean, do you make no distinction?
Oh, I'd like to go and visit them if I might. If you could arrange that for me to go and visit them, I would very much like that with a camera in hand.
Well, we can drop me an email. We can ask the guy if you can do it.
I'm sure that could happen.
The question is...
Well, I would like to see it, because you're saying that you've seen this farm. I would like to see the farm that you're talking about that you say is humane.
Sure.
Until I see it, I wouldn't know.
I understand.
If you could arrange that for me, I would very much appreciate it.
Wait, but hold on a second.
But just so you know, any of our listeners in the listening area in Central Jersey here, the Greektown Quail Farm is an open farm. They actually have a little shop right on the farm. You can drive right up, walk on the farm. You'll see the animals.
Well, you might have access. The public might have access to some places, and there might be some places that are not accessible.
The animals are walking around. The actual farm is right off the road.
I would like to see.
But my question is, hold on a second. You run a foundation. You donate hundreds of thousands of dollars. You spend all your time working for this, and you don't know? How can you say you don't know?
I don't know what.
But that you say you don't. You've never seen what I've seen.
No, I have never seen.
That's not the crux of the issue. The crux of the issue is you say if you kill the animal in the end, no matter how you kill it, that very act of raising an animal for food
is inhumane. Absolutely.
Well, how is it more humane for me to allow the owl to take the rabbit back to its nest and eat its intestines out while it watches? Why is that a more humane way for that rabbit to die than to be shot by my shotgun?
Because he needs that for sustenance. Humans do not need to eat animals.
Well, no one is suggesting that humans need to eat animals. Well, what I'm saying
is... Well, that's the point. The point is that you just made a comparison, and that's the difference. The difference is that the owl needs to eat that animal to live.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he does, but he does.
So is it unfortunate? No, but is it unfortunate
I guess that's the point. I mean, we're getting into a kind of a circle of life conversation here. What Francis and I say is, you know, it's not unfortunate that the owl needs to eat that rabbit. That's part of the beauty of life. The whole world
isn't
works.
Isn't it beautiful that...
That's the food chain.
No, but isn't the food chain beautiful? Or is it horrible and awful that the owl needs to eat the rabbit?
Sometimes it's harsh.
I will not disagree with that.
But I don't think it's horrible, awful, or unnatural.
But that's the difference between humans eating animals and animals eating animals.
So nature is set up with this series of unfortunate. It's how terrible it is that these carnivorous animals need to eat other animals. That's an unfortunate reality.
It is. It's a harsh reality.
But that's reality.
There are things that are pleasant, and there are things that are unpleasant in nature.
I think that it's beautiful in a way that...
Well, one person's beauty is another person's...
But I see beauty in the world. But I see beauty in the world that exists. I don't think it's a horror that an owl eats a rabbit.
Something else suffer is horrible to me.
But it can be justified
if somebody else needs to live because of it.
Animals raised humanely, or what I would consider humanely, and then slaughtered quickly, suffer less than animals
in the wild. That's for sure. They suffer less.
Well, and they suffer less than animals in the wild.
But that doesn't justify it.
Well, do you make a distinction between humans and animals at all, or do we all have the same moral worth? I mean, if there's a baby, how many...
Oh,
man, that's a question.
This question is going on for decades and decades.
So what's the answer?
If it's your baby and it's your dog and somebody else's baby, or your mother and somebody else's dog, where do you make the difference?
I choose somebody else's baby
over your dog. Okay.
How about you? I love my dog.
Please don't misunderstand. I love my dog very much, and if something were to happen to it, I would be very sad.
But what's your answer to the question?
I don't know until it would happen, to tell you the truth.
So you're telling me that if it's your dog and my baby, that you might...
I can tell you right now what I would do.
All right, how about if it was 10 dogs and 10 dogs that you know and like, and somebody else's baby?
I don't know how these hypothetical questions...
Oh, come on.
No, really.
It's basically the way that human beings communicate is with hypothetical questions. It's how we have, if you want to be intellectually honest...
You don't know anything until it really happens.
So I don't know anything until I actually do it.
You don't know how you would react to a certain situation.
What I'm asking you is not how you would react, but I'd ask you what you think is a moral choice. Do you think a person who saves the 10 dogs and lets the baby die has made a morally acceptable choice, or is that completely immoral because you need to save a baby when you can save a baby, a human baby?
It's not going to happen. It's a ridiculous comparison.
It's not a ridiculous comparison. You're afraid to answer the question. It's not a ridiculous. What I'm asking you is that if there is equivalent moral worth to a baby and a dog, it's a simple question. And hypotheticals and
how about if we make it a baby and a puppy? That's then it'd be more.
Yeah, all right. But I mean, it's people. This is a logical question. It's not.
It's not a logical question at all. It's ridiculous.
Why is it a ridiculous question? I'm curious.
Because it's not going to happen. That's why.
If you have a choice to get the baby out of the fire or the dog out of the fire, which one do you take out?
You take both.
You can't get both.
You can get both.
This is a hypothetical question that leads to a logical conclusion. Now. It's what you value more. You were refusing to say that, you know, if there are you know, 10 dogs that you can save, and sometimes we need to make a choice between a dog and a human. In Hurricane Katrina, a lot of people said, listen, if I take my dog, I've got to leave my baby behind. I'm taking the baby. Or there's a baby across the street that I can save, and we had to make a choice between people and animals, and most people choose the people. Do you think that's wrong? Or do you think someone who chose their dog over someone else's baby... don't you think that's always an immoral choice?
I wouldn't say always, no.
Yeah. Well, and there we have the crux of the problem. I think we've gotten to it. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
We're back with Nancy Alexander having a great debate about farm animals and the like. Nancy, here's what I'm going to tell you. And Francis and I appreciate that there are people with differing views in the world, but we want to promote people to continue to have choices.
And I also want to thank you for coming on the show because you and we both knew going in that we disagreed on this topic, and I think it was good to flesh it out and have a discussion. We'll put this out on the
radio.
Flesh
it out, I get it.
Funny.
Nancy, I do appreciate you know your discourse.
And you're going to set up that appointment for me to see this.
I'm not
going to
set up anything. I am, but I'll put you in contact with George, who can do whatever he wants.
Well,
with
I would like to be able to see what you say is humane.
Sure. I mean, there are plenty of farms. You can go to Humane Farm Animal Care, which is the website we've had them on. You can link to our site to find all sorts of organizations.
A great woman.
Well, I would like to see what you consider humane,
sure.
I should be able to see it.
Yeah, well, you can.
You asked me if I had seen it, and I hadn't seen it.
Absolutely.
Well,
but
I'm giving you the resources right now. You can go to Humane Farm Animal Care. You can go
But you need to know that they're allowing me there to see the farm.
Why do I need to know this?
I'll believe you if you
so
tell me.
So you'll know that I'm able to get on there.
I'll believe you if you tell me.
Yeah, I'll believe you if you tell me. Absolutely. You can find these organizations through our website, and we have personal contacts with them all. I mean, we visited the farms ourselves, and we've seen it with our own two eyes.
And Nancy,
I would like to go with you is my point.
And Nancy, just so you know, just because we disagree with some of your views doesn't mean that we think you're dishonest. We just happen to disagree with some of the views that you have.
I would like to go with the two of you to the farm that you say is.
I don't know that that's going to happen, but maybe we could arrange that if we'll talk to the guy
that
from Griggs. That
would be very nice.
But in any event, we have to run the hours almost up. I hope that you've been riveted to your radios listening to this. I'm sure that some of you are out there yelling at your radio with one view, and some of you are out there yelling at your radio with the other view, and it's good to know what the other side is thinking.
Nancy, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to the Restaurant Guys. Really interesting debate. Like, really got down to the meat of the matter, no pun intended. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.